Hey, listeners, in addition to this week's recap, which you are about to listen to and enjoy, it's a fun one, we are also releasing an episode today of our interview with Zubair Mohajer, and it's an incredible interview. We, you know, gone too soon, I think we all agree, and he's just a fabulous guy, so make sure to listen to that also on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome back to Compliments to the Chef. I'm your host, Nancy.
And I'm your host, Bits.
And season 22, episode 6, an incredible episode. We have so much to talk about, Bits.
One for the ages.
And so I don't think that we have any – well, so we do actually have one leftover from last week. But the leftover was that we said that we would try salt cod.
Oh.
Which didn't happen. But – with some luck, we actually had a fan write in. So this leftover is actually a potluck.
Yummy.
Thank you. So this is from Miguel. And Miguel wrote into us on Instagram. Quick plug, follow us on Instagram.
Compliments to the Chef Pod.
It's good stuff. It's fun. And we also read our DMs. So Miguel DM'd us and said, "Hi guys, as a Portuguese Canadian living in Toronto, I've been feasting on this season and avidly listening to your takes." Shout out to you, Miguel. You
Shout
have
out.
Great decision-making capabilities. Okay, so I will paraphrase this. But he said, pretty much, saltfish is maybe the most iconic Portuguese ingredient used in dozens of dishes. It is impossible to replace it with fresh fish. Mm. They are entirely different textures. The salt cod has a you would need to soak it overnight to reduce the salinity. Or sorry, this is a piece of fresh cod. You need to reduce it overnight so that you could have the texture of a salt cod. It's the same difference as using fresh salmon for a dish versus gravlax.
Oh, enough said.
Enough said. Thank you for that comparison. Miguel also wanted us to report to the listeners, the hungry, hungry listeners, that the Thai chef on this episode is Toronto's most famous Thai chef. That, let's see, the Filipino chef, he agreed, does have incredibly swaggy energies and that his restaurant BB's is like a hipster Filipino joint in Toronto. So we got that take right. And he said one last thing. Corwin was so excited about saltfish because he, as he pointed out, it's used quite a bit in Jamaican cuisine, most famously in ackee and saltfish, which is the best version of scrambled eggs you've ever had.
Wow.
So thank you so much, Miguel, for writing in. And this is, you know, just an announcement to everyone. We read our DMs. We love to chat. So reach out to us. We're always here to talk.
I'm actually so glad we got that take too. He did our homework for us. And just shed a completely new light on something. We learned something new today.
For the listeners, we will still try to find salt cod. It didn't fit into the schedule this week. So we will report back when we have done that. But in the meantime, Bits, let's begin.
Okay, Nancy, episode 6. This one is bonkers.
Jam-packed.
Jam-packed.
What is your amuse-bouche reaction, Biz?
Yeah, I'll take amuse-bouche. Good TV.
Oh, yeah.
This was good TV content. There was a lot happening. We got fires. We got me's in trash. And...
Title of ep.
And we got a lot of pickles, which I know you feel some type of way about.
Oh, so, yeah.
100% fan of this ep. Where is your head at?
My head is at, you know, I love a good product placement quickfire. Mm-hmm. So that was a treat. We'll get into that in a second. And we'll get into this with the elimination challenge. Yes, I love pickles. Bits sort of, you know, alluded to that. We might even get a touch of that in Judgy Table. But it kind of came out of nowhere, this challenge. Like, are pickles a Canadian thing? Was it just – and then I guess maybe we're at the point in the season where we no longer care about the destination and we're more focused on the cooking. So I think that we're slowly – maybe my – to put it more succinctly, my amuse-bouche is we are clearly taking this from sort of like kitschy, campy territory in the first few episodes to getting into the meat of Top Chef, which is like, you know, we're at 10 chefs who are super talented. It's sort of like this is the fun part of the season where the challenges are interesting. You're getting a lot of dishes going out. And I'm excited to be transitioning into this new part of the season.
Yeah. Yes. And yeah, I think just to kind of react to your thought on the, okay, we're sort of like dropping the Canadian pretense. I'm like cool with that too. Honestly, like, and I don't think that that's really been a thing in past seasons. I know it's like a bit thematic this time around because we're in a different country and it's destination. But yeah, let's – I'm fine with that.
Totally. I think that's actually, if I reflect, where the Wisconsin season perhaps went a little awry from a production standpoint. It's like it is clear that the Wisconsin Board of Tourism really shelled out for last season, for season 21. And it just felt too much about Wisconsin and not enough about the cooking and what these people could actually do. And so I agree with you that I'm really okay with Canada now being a backdrop as opposed to the main player.
I learned a lot about Frank Lloyd Wright last season, more than I would have expected to learn in a Top Chef.
I learned about as much as I knew about Frank Lloyd Wright as someone who studied Frank Lloyd Wright. You know, so that's like a lot of information. I didn't learn anything new, but I learned about as much as I already knew,
No, thanks for the reminder.
Yeah, like a full 4-year degree. Okay, but let's get into the episode. We arrive at the Top Chef kitchen, and Kristen is there with Chipotle bags. This was so funny. So to explain, pretty much, I guess the producers had the chefs order Chipotle a few days ago for lunch. And they ate their Chipotle then and there. But then a few days later, all of the ingredients that were included in their Chipotle order, their individual Chipotle orders, were now being used against them in a quick fire challenge. Mm. Tristan's quote, "Nothing is sacred," was so funny.
Oh my God. Oh wait, the other thing that really made me laugh about this was the additional caveat that they also can't use a can opener or freezer. Only those two, like Chipotle, that's it. Everything else is fair game. You know, it's like we get it. It's like fresh, but
yeah, it was a bit heavy-handed because like when are they using a freezer in a quick fire challenge? It's they're using liquid nitrogen if they need to get something cold in 30 minutes. But also
Chipotle,
like,
just, do you have liquid nitrogen? Were
any of those ingredients conducive to using a freezer? I don't think so.
Yeah, frozen quesadilla.
Also, like the no can opener would have been a challenge if they were given cans, but they weren't.
Yeah, I guess so like canned corn could have come up, but I don't know.
Those were actually not restrained at all.
You know what? I'm going to put this out there. I don't believe you, Chipotle. There's no fucking way you don't have stuff in cans. How do you move that much? How do you move that much
supply chain? How do they do it?
Dude, we are going to need a full audit of your supply chain, Chipotle. This is now an investigative journalism podcast. We are going to put a bug in a can of corn and see how it moves through the Chipotle supply chain. There's just no fucking way. I'm sorry. I call BS.
I think about this all the time when I'm at – I don't go to Chipotle that frequently. I think I probably at this point go like once a year when I'm like desperate. But it's just like there's no way this food is not processed in some way.
Yeah. We need to find a Chipotle in the city, go in there, and literally hold up the joint and be like, show me your cans.
Hold it up with our podcast microphones. Yeah.
You can't handle the truth.
There's a Chipotle really close to my office. I pass it every day.
Okay. Well, you know, just in case you have some spare time.
Totally. But okay, let's get to the cooking. So the chefs each grab their baskets with
– we need to shout out the guest judges.
Oh, my gosh. Of course. I was so tied up in the can openers.
And his son, Jet. And I have seen their content. Have you come across their content? Yes. I've this has come up on my Instagram, the exact video actually, where like converting a pizza, like a bad pizza or something into he like gives him like bad, you know, shitty takeout food or bad food, and his dad upcycles it, so to speak. It was actually fun to see him. Like, I feel like I know these guys from somewhere. And of course, like, Susser's Lee is famous in his own right, but
yes.
Is anyone famous until you've made it on Instagram? I don't know. Follow us at @compliments_to_the_chef_pod.
We're gonna be pushing that hard this episode. We need to my challenge to you is to get at least 3 more plugs in for our Instagram. Are you on it? Do you accept the challenge?
I accept the challenge. Okay, but to the food. Nancy, what jumped out at you? What would you like to see on the table at lunch?
I am obsessed with Cesar this episode. Mm-hmm. The Cesar salad, I hope that he actually hasn't done that before and that he really was just being so quippy. But like this whole episode – his personality was coming through in a really sweet way. You were seeing that because he definitely has a very introverted personality. And we haven't really seen him like light up yet this season. But this episode, he was getting excited about growing sprouts under his bed.
Okay, that was crazy.
Crazy. And he just was like coming alive and being silly and fun. And I just loved it.
The scene from The Office where Creed like sprouts mung beans in his desk drawer.
Yes. And he's like, smells like death.
Yeah.
Cesar, we hope that your bedroom doesn't smell like death because of the sprouts.
No, that was definitely the most clever. And they called that out. They said that was a really fun reinterpretation.
Yeah. What about you?
What about me? I definitely liked the sound of Paola's. I love serrano chili. Mm-hmm. I loved the sound of Massimo's, honestly, like his tostada, even though it was served on like a towel.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Odd preparation, right?
But it brought it closer to my mouth, so you know, I didn't have to work as hard to pick it up. It was already halfway there.
Massimo had a great episode. I think that coming off of the heels of last episode where he was painted in a bit of like a competitive light, it was nice to see him just really excel this episode.
Yeah.
And do things well.
I agree.
The other thing we need to talk about is that Tristan made a tartare, a beef tartare.
Pew. Wow, 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 wow.
I am really proud of myself for calling out how much beef tartare we're seeing on this season.
Oh my God. No crumbles though.
No crumbles this ep, but – I mean, Tristan's tartare sounded delicious. Other dishes. So on the top of this challenge, we had Paola, who made the pork shoulder tostada. We had Cesar with his Cesar salad. We had Tristan with his tartare. And then we had Massimo with his tostada. There were 4 on the top this week, which is fun. On the bottom, unfortunately, we had Vinny. Vinny sort of had a rough episode this time.
He took a little stumble tumble.
Yeah, but you know, everyone needs an off, like a bye week.
Yeah.
So Vinny made chilaquiles, which they said the bottom needed to be crispier and he needed more flavor in the dish. In his defense, it sounded like he ordered queso fundido and tortilla chips.
Tough.
And then also on the bottom, we had Henry, who actually made queso fundido, and they said it tasted good, but compared to what everyone else created, it just felt a bit underwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, we had Shui on the bottom, who made a sort of like tortilla soup, which I thought was cool, but unfortunately, his rice was not cooked properly.
It's tough. I don't have the patience often to cook rice properly.
Cooking rice in a quick fire is a huge risk.
Yeah. Didn't pay off here. But
no, unfortunately, it did not.
We see Tristan continue the winning streak.
Mm-hmm.
This is like 3rd win in a row between winning the last 2 episodes.
Yeah.
And this, yeah.
He's on fire.
Fire, spicy. He wins the Chipotle. Well, it's not quick fire because it's not Chase quick fire, quick cash. But he wins Chipotle quick fire, quick cash, $10,000. I wish Chipotle would have come up with a clever name.
What would it be?
Chipotle blow your butt out, cash, 10K.
I was not expecting that. It really caught me off guard. Blow your butt out. Oh, you gotta warn me when you're gonna pull something like that on live TV, Bits.
Hey, this episode's furnished by Chipotle.
And our Instagram account. Follow us. Compliments to the Chef Pod on Instagram.
Well, with Nancy, I think we got a chalk elimination challenge because this one was spicy, zesty, dilly.
Talk about blow your butt out. It's actually more like blow your esophagus out because they are eating pickles. They're eating a whole pickle meal. Who had this idea? I want to shake the hand of the man or woman who thought of this idea.
You know what I'm picturing? I'm picturing that there's like been one guy that works at Magical Elves who for years has been like, hey guys, like in the back of the meeting room, like, guys, I got a crazy idea. It's pickles. It's only pickles. And then for whatever reason, they finally are like, all right, Eric, like, we'll do the pickle episode.
They finally acquiesced. He's in a suit with
like pickles on it. He's just like a big pickle guy. He's actually a literal pickle, actually.
Like, every season they're going to the writer's room and they're like, okay, guys, we want new, fresh ideas this season. And he's like, okay, what if they make a 5-course meal and it's all pickles?
Remember last time when I said 4-course? No, I think we got to do 5-course. Okay, let's talk some shit on pickles, though. I want to critique pickles first before we get into the food here because I know you have thoughts. Mm-hmm. So to list it out, we see the judges, you know, quick recap. We see the chefs need to break into teams of two for this 5-course progressive pickle menu. Each course has a different pickle. The first course is cornichons, followed by full sour, dill pickle, spicy pickle, and then rounding it out with bread and butter pickle. Mm-hmm. Nancy, stack rank for me, please, if you will.
So this was sort of going to be my – you know what? I'll still say what I was going to say for judgy tables and answer your question. Stack rank, number one, full sour. Mm. Close second, spicy.
Mm.
Then I would say – I think I'd go cornichons next, then dill, then bread and butter. I've never been a bread and butter girl.
Okay, yes. I have the exact same lineup. Yeah, I have the exact same lineup.
I'm actually surprised that you have the exact same lineup.
To me, full sour, dill, spicy are all in first place.
Yeah, they're variations of a theme, I understand.
Yeah, so anyways.
I love, oh my God, RIP, there used to be a restaurant, Number 7 Bar. It actually still exists, but it moved during COVID. And when they moved, they used to have a side of pickles.
I remember this.
You remember the pickles?
You would order them.
I would go in and I'd order like 3 side orders of pickles and they'd give me a whole jar. And then one day I went in to do my usual thing and they're like, you know the recipe's online, which is their way of saying like, we're not giving you any more pickles, lady.
We're cutting you off.
We're cutting you off because I was cleaning them out of house and home with these pickles. But anyway, when they moved locations, they took the pickles off the menu.
Ugh.
What I would give, oh my God, what I would give to have a number 7 bar pickle right now, holy moly.
That's so weird. Why would they have done that?
I don't know. So dumb. And like, I think they still have them, but they're only served with the burger. And like, I don't want a whole burger. I just want the pickles.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. But let's talk about what these guys and dolls made with their pickles. So we're divided into two teams. Tristan and Bailey, who won last episode, get to schoolyard draft their teams. Mm. Tristan's team
takes
me
back.
Okay, when people are like, oh, it's like in the schoolyard, we never did this in school.
Oh, I did it all the time.
Were you picked teams like this?
Yeah, like in gym class and stuff. Yeah, for sure.
I feel like we were never responsible. It would be like the gym teachers would be like, okay, this half of the room, you're on team one. And
it probably saved you guys a lot of heartache and anxiety and issues as an adult.
I guess, but like I don't think I've really ever been encountered with this situation where teams are being picked live.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Tristan picks Katiana, Schwei, Cesar, and Henry. And Bailey picks Lana, Paula, Vinny, and Massimo. Now, we have a bit of lingering, I wouldn't go so far as to say animosity, but like negative energy between Paula and Massimo. I don't think that they like hate each other, but I think Paula's just like, I really don't want to work with him again.
Yeah.
But that is hardly any drama compared to what we see down the line. I don't want to get to it yet.
I'm not even saying anything.
But let's talk about each of these matchups. Oh, and it was kind of cool. So the chefs went to the table. They went head to head. The judges voted at the table whose dish they preferred more. And then they gave feedback and they told the individual chefs who won. And so we knew who the winning team and losing team was by the end of the cook. We didn't have to go to judges' table to figure that out.
I loved this format. And Nancy, it is to me what the season 10 finale should have been instead of this like Thunderdome.
Yes.
Like this is so much better. Like serve it tableside, vote in real time. That's all good. Mm-hmm. Also, this restaurant is like the 2025 version of the like the sexy restaurant. Like I'm excited to watch this season in 10 years and be like, wow, like that like restaurant was of such of that era. It just felt like the first like overstuffed restaurant we've been in.
Yeah. It's a good point. I really like that observation.
Yeah. So
I think that I have been watching some old seasons. I've been crushing some old seasons while I'm on the treadmill at the gym.
When I'm not working for the pod.
Yeah, when I'm not working for the pod or my real job, I am watching Top Chef.
For pleasure, and not business.
Truly. Well, it is kind of pleasure because I don't have to take notes with the old seasons. Yeah. I just get to enjoy it. But I noticed that in recent years, they have made a sort of tacit shift away from giving people feedback in the moment. And they save it all for judges' table now.
Yeah.
So it was really nice for them to get feedback live while the dishes are being eaten.
Even if the feedback is nobody voted for your dish.
Yeah, which was brutal some accounts. But let's talk about our first matchup.
Cooka Cornichon.
The Battle of the Tartars. We've got two more beef tartars this episode, totaling 3 beef tartars in episode 6.
Whoa.
And something tells me this is not the last beef tartare we're going to see this season. Do you think that the past like 20 years of sushi culture and ceviche culture in the United States has been leading us to this moment where we're now on like beef tartare?
I feel like we've kind of been in beef tartare.
I think the past few years, like the American palate has sort of been excited about beef tartare, but I think that we kind of had to get comfortable with eating raw fish as a gateway to eating raw meat.
Could be.
I think it's true for myself, if I'm being honest.
Could be. I can't speak with full confidence on that, but I think it's an interesting observation. You said interesting things about many things.
Interesting commentary about many things. Yep. Exactly. So we got the Battle of the Tartars. We have Massimo, who's making an imitation of what is considered to be the best tartare in the world at L'Express. Is that the restaurant?
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to jump through the screen and eat this dish. Yeah. He made a cannoli and flavored it with the pickling liquid. And then he made a steak tartare with the cornichons and piped it into the cannoli.
So cool. I just wanted to go 3 bites on that.
I looked
so good. But we got some drama in the kitchen because he threw some tatoes in a boiling pot of oil and that thing lit up.
Yeah. And people were sort of like, they really went out of their way to be like, rookie mistake.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, ugh, they're so inconvenient. Nobody was like worried or scared. They were just like, ugh, put it out. Like just so curmudgeonly about it.
Because I think that's indicative of the type of thing that just like wouldn't fly in a fine dining kitchen. Like if you made that mistake, you probably would get fired.
True.
And I think a lot of them are so trained in that where they're just like, oh God, this person doesn't care about the sanctity of this kitchen.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Massimo's a bit of like a bull in a china shop, as we know.
Yes. But so let's talk our other tartare, Schweiz tartare. He had a fried pickle mushroom steak tartare. Fried pickle mushroom sounds very interesting.
I wanted to try that fried pickle mushroom.
Yeah, yeah. it was a little, I'll be honest, it was kind of hard for me. It's funny, I wrote this note and then Gail made her comment, which was, it was hard for me to like visually see what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gail kind of had a similar read. Imagine that. She just was like, visually, it could have been a little tighter. Like, presentation mm-hmm. could have been tighter. But yeah, I also was watching it on like half of my laptop screen. So yeah. That may have something to do with it.
If we're talking about visuals and Gail, can we talk about what everyone showed up wearing this episode? Kristen is in like an homage to Pickle mm-hmm. green outfit, which was so fun. But everyone just looked fine this episode.
Glamazonians.
Tom's in a nice gray suit. Gail's in this beautiful blue dress. It was just shout out to Charlotte Rose Coleman.
Mm-hmm,
Follow her on Instagram and follow us on Instagram on Compliments to the Chef Pod.
I can't believe you did it.
I did it. Well, that's only 2 out of 3. Crazy. We need one more.
All right.
Okay. Moving right along. Course number 2. Oh, and the purple team, Massimo, took that round.
Took it. 6-2. Mm-hmm. This was the most split the group was. And that is interesting. That, I think, observationally high level, it was a runaway winner each round.
Yep. And so speaking of each round, second round, we've got Tristan, who says he doesn't like pickles, more on that later, doing the full sour, and he's making a charred pickle and cured mackerel with like a gelée and like all this stuff, like burnt pickles, this, that, the other thing.
Yes.
Wild. And then Vinny did his full sour smoked salmon rillette with variations of pickles. And this is the rillette I made at the Nomad. Do you think Vinny worked at the Nomad?
I don't know.
I think we're going to have to double check with Danny Garcia on that.
Leftover.
Did Vinny work at the Nomad? Because he's told us enough times.
Fact
on,
check.
On this round, my observation, in addition to the fact that Tristan's dish sounded so cool, was the presentation of plates on this season. I think it's the best we've ever seen on the show.
Yes. Yeah.
Everyone's presentation game is out of control.
There's two things working in favor of that. One is the caliber of the chefs.
Mm-hmm.
Two is recency bias, because when we comment on the plating, we're usually watching plates from 5+ years ago, and that shit gets old quick. So again, when we come back to watch this to see how well this restaurant design has aged, we can check to see how well the plating has aged. But 100%, it is gorgeous. Agree with you.
Yes, we are in Tweezer City, by the way, with the plating. All of them have their tweezers out. Not a unibrow among them, because they are just ding, 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 little pieces of accoutrements. But both of these dishes sound delicious, but Tristan takes it.
Give it him,
every
Malfoy.
Single boast. Or sorry, it was 7-1, I think.
No, he was a clean sweep.
Oh,
he
clean sweep.
Eight.
Excuse me.
He was eight.
They said it was inventive, great textures, well-integrated flavors, and that he pulled off wild ideas.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell
I
Tom was just
Tristan.
Loving it.
It was one of the best things he's ever had. That was a direct quote.
Mm-hmm. I love when Tom gets hyperbolic, because it happens so rarely.
I know. Not like somebody else we know, Paul Hollywood. Your handshakes.
Yeah, giving them out loosey-goosey.
Ugh.
Too many this season. And too early. Sorry.
Too many and too soon. But enough about round 2. Round 3, we had the dill pickle. This was Katiana versus Lana. Katiana and Lana. Lana did a dill pickle seared scallop, grilled pickle relish, beurre blanc. This was cool. I loved seeing the green scallop.
This was cool. Yeah, it looked really interesting. She was like, and they turned a radioactive green.
Yeah, there was like a crazy color. But there's your scallop. There you go.
I liked where she went with this. I mean, I think that seafood with very acidic things is a classic combination. And she had a grilled dill pickle relish, which sounded really tasty. I would have enjoyed that. And then Katiana made the, as Bit said, a cucumber porridge with dill pickle vinaigrette and clams. And she added tofu at the last minute to the porridge. Ah, here's the thing. You could tell that they were setting this up from the second they highlighted the fact that she bought tofu for no reason at Whole Foods.
Yes.
They were seeding this all along. And unfortunately,
like the cucumber seed porridge.
Ah, oh, brilliant callback.
Brilliant.
That's quite the connection. That's some critical thinking skills you're displaying there. Unfortunately for Katiana, I think they felt very confused by this dish. The porridge felt muddied next to the fish. And it was – I was laughing to myself so hard at Judge's table when Gail said with a perfectly straight face, so it was a cucumber-forward dish, not a pickle-forward dish. And I was just sort of like, this is late-stage capitalism right here. End of times.
Oh, my God. I had the thought, seeing this dish, should we add porridge to the counter?
You know what?
We've had a lot of porridges.
We've had a lot of congee.
Yeah.
Leftover for next week. I'm Leftover. Updating the counter with porridge.
Yeah, let's retroactively count that. Yeah, but this sucks. This is a shame. Yeah, even like Danny Garcia being like, oh, you should have just – if you, it would have been good if you left that whole thing off the plate. Mm-hmm. Ugh, that sucks to hear.
It is tough. But so Lana sweeps the round with her brined scallops, and we move on to spicy. And so we have the drama of the episode. Mm. Now, I need to do something rare. So listeners, you know, you don't get this that often. I was wrong last week. What was I wrong about? I said, gone are the days of the stolen pea puree. Do you want to tell me how wrong I was, Bits?
Super wrong. I mean, mm-hmm. stolen, was it? No, but this was some golden era Top Chef tomfoolery. Yeah.
So what happened was Schwei accidentally threw out all of Henry's mise en place to assemble his dish. And it included essentially all of the pickle elements of the dish. This was really tough to watch.
Brutal. I mean, everybody involved, like Henry was a really good sport about it. You could tell clearly he's stressing it big time. Mm-hmm. Schwei feels like absolute shit and is thinking he's like helping out. It just like such a lose-lose for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I did laugh a little bit when Henry was like, yeah, I cried in the bathroom like a civilized human. So true. Been there. but yeah, it just sucked all around. Like, I don't know. I get how that mistake gets made. It's just, it really got me sweating it and thinking about it at judges' table. I mean, so we should say that this was sort of with the other, this was sort of the round where if purple wins, purple wins.
Mm-hmm.
And so Paola takes the win with 7, which we'll talk about her dish. But so it added this extra oomph to this situation mm-hmm. where it was like not only – I mean, it completely threw his dish off, right? There was no pickle there. Like all of the judges commented on that. And then on top of that, so his attempt was a spicy bulgogi-style braised short rib with spicy pickle foam. And then Paola did a spicy grilled octopus, spicy pickle, chimichurri, braised pickle beets, and serrano peppers. I mean, hers just also sounded really good.
It sounded delicious.
So on top of that, you're going against a super strong dish. So it, I don't know, Nancy.
It was tough to watch because Henry has commented a few times in the past few episodes that like plating is where things sort of fall apart for him. Like last episode, he was saying, I always am rushing when it comes to plating and it never goes well and I never like the way my plates look. And so he gave himself a ton of time and then he got mixed up in the plating of last episode. And this episode, I feel like he was ready to go. Like he had it at his fingertips. He had all of his mise en place there. And then unfortunately, it all went into the trash. Ugh. And he just can't really catch a break when it comes to crossing the finish line with any dish. And I really, really hope that he has a good week next week and that he really gets to show what he's about, because I think this week I think the judges really felt for him. I don't think that his short rib dish was the worst and I don't think he deserved to go home, but it was missing a pickle. Huge aspect of the challenge.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so I think he got lucky in that Katiana's both sort of missed the pickle aspect and the execution of the dish was not good enough to stay. Because otherwise I think Henry would have been sent home. And I think that he kind of has one more shot to show that he can really do it.
Yeah. Well, let's talk judges table at – let's talk the last round and then let's come back to this. So
yep.
At this point, it's a win for the purple team. So Bailey's walking into this with like the least amount of stress ever. Mm-hmm. She has immunity. The team's already won. She does a – with her bread and butter pickle, a ricotta with red wine, pickle ragu, and fonduta. And then Cesar, who again had the super strong showing earlier in the ep, did a pickled curd tart and dill ice cream with pickle gastrique. Wow. I want that.
He was the story of the episode to me.
Yes, for sure.
He was doing something playful. He was doing something silly, but he was doing something really clever and he pulled it off.
Yeah.
And this whole time you get these little seeded moments of him throughout the episode of like, yeah, it's just kind of working. Like the ice cream set up really well and this
is Top Chef at its finest. Yes. People take big swings and it pays off and it's so weird.
Yes. And I mean, you can see Tom is just like flabbergasted by it. I would say Tristan and Cesar had them stopped in their tracks this episode with their dishes, which is incredible.
Yeah.
But the Cesar thing was cool because, again – something that I think we grow a bit weary of as an audience is when it is clear that they are recreating dishes that they've done many times in their past.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that they're not really challenging themselves to take the challenge head on and make something net new. And so it is so rewarding. I mean, more so for Cesar than for the audience. But as an audience member, it's rewarding when they're making something for the show, which by way of that, they're making something by the transitive property for us.
Yeah.
Like to really enjoy and go along in the journey with them.
I love that.
And Cesar gave us that this episode and it was so much fun.
Yes. And it was the favorite of the day for a lot of the people at the table. It was just so cool. I mean, what more can you say? Comparatively, Bailey's I think just felt kind of safe and like that's a hard thing to beat. And it definitely wasn't even the pasta piece of it, I think. But I did appreciate Bailey, you know, when they asked like, why pasta? Why not a dessert? And she's like, I've just done a lot of desserts. And I was like, yes, thank you. It's been too many damn desserts on this season. Like,
yeah, she's done too many. I agree. Well, so that brings us to the end. There was one thing I want to bring up, which I found delightful, which was at some point, someone said like, hey, Lana, can you help me with this? And she responded, is a pig's ass pork? As if to say like, yes. And I've just never heard that version of the joke. And I loved it. I loved it.
I love when you find a new version of that. I got to pull it out now.
Mm-hmm.
I heard a fun phrase that my friend taught me, which is like, what's the scuttlebutt, scallywags? Which
I love that.
Think is like so nice. You know, like what's the hot goss, everyone? I've been trying to work that in similar to how we've been working in our Instagram compliments to the chef pod.
She went for the hat trick.
Boom.
Oh, we got three.
But yeah, surprisingly, like it's pretty hard to say what's the scuttlebutt scallywag in a professional setting in a natural way. But I'll find a way.
It's so surprising. Like I thought it would be so easy to do.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's super hard.
Oh my gosh. Well, let's talk about judges table. So the purple team wins, which means that they are all up to be chosen as the winner. But I think that we can all agree that Cesar won this challenge.
Cesar and Tristan, I think, really.
I mean, Tristan for sure, but I think just the creativity.
Cesar's was really,
it was just over the edge of what they expected.
I was disappointed that the winner couldn't come from anywhere.
Mm-hmm. But that's how it always goes with the team challenges.
I know, it just sucks. It really sucked in this case because clearly, like, he was such a standout, and even though Massimo, who ends up winning, like also made an incredible dish.
Yep.
There was just the creative, like synergy of what Cesar put out, it would have been nice to see
rewarded. I wanted him to get his flowers.
Yeah, yeah.
But he does in our hearts. But he does. Massimo, I think, very deservedly wins.
Yeah.
Out of the dishes on their team, he, I think, started off the meal with a bang. And then Tom says, I think it might be even better than the inspiration, which I think sort of stopped Massimo in his tracks.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a nice thing to hear.
Yeah. It's nice when Tom really pays a very genuine compliment that means a lot to someone.
100%. Congrats to the purple team. Green team winds up on the bottom. Unfortunately, two of the strongest dishes were on this team.
Yeah.
So that really left three people kind of on the chopping block. That was Shuai, Henry, and Katiana. I was really sweating this one, Nancy, because I was fully like about to, you know, have a whole conversation with you about that's not fair. Like, you can't send a guy home if, like, you know, an act of God intervenes, you know, which, like, to me, that is. I just, you can't blame Shuai for that mistake. It just, it isn't, you couldn't have blamed either of them. I don't know. I don't know what we would have done in a scenario where one of their dishes were, if Henry's was the worst. Like, if Shuai's was the worst, like, okay, like, that's okay.
yeah, I think it, again, as I said, I think that Henry got lucky that Katiana's was both flavor-wise and execution worse than his.
Yeah.
Because I think that if even one of those things weren't the case, Henry would have gone home, unfortunately. Yeah. But he lives to another day in the Top Chef kitchen. Katiana unfortunately gets sent home, which this season is nuts because it – I mean, it really feels like everyone's a heavy hitter, but it also feels like a lot of heavy hitters are going home early.
Yeah, yeah. Or to LCK.
Or to LCK, which you can listen
– tune into.
Yeah.
You sorry. Okay. Why am I whispering?
Why are you whispering? You can tune into our second helping where we will be discussing Last Chance Kitchen for this week, as well as an interview with the executive producer of Top Chef, Donnie Narquinez.
Woo!
Holy shit. We have reached the top of the top.
The tippity top. We can't wait. It's going to be so much fun, actually. Oh, it's going to be so good. We need to ask about the Reynolds tinfoil challenge.
We have so many questions that we need to ask. Like, we're going to need to regroup on that stat. But yes, tune in for that. But Bits, I have to ask the age-old question. Katiana's cucumber porridge, would you eat that?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought hers sounded conceptually really interesting. The clam, smoked clam vinaigrette, that – there's something very cool to that. So, yeah, I would have tried it. And I like mushy stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say this. I understand why you would go there. I hate to say it. I don't know that this dish really appeals to me. So I would try it, but I think it would be out of, like, reverence for Katiana and not out of interest in the dish, if that makes sense.
Makes sense.
Well, we've arrived at our favorite time of the episode.
Judgy
table. Bits, would you like to go first?
You got one locked and loaded, so I'm going to let you take it.
Mine is brief. Shout out to Peggy Da Silva. I'm doing this in a very abbreviated fashion in your honor. Nancy, your judgy table starts now. I have two words for Tristan. Grow up. Pickles rule. Learn to love them. That is all. I'm done.
Yeah, pickles are. I can't even understand how you don't like pickles.
How do you not like pickles? They're so good. They're salty. They're
only
sour.
Downside is they make you thirsty, but that's the best kind of thirst.
Yeah, and then you just go glug, 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 glug exactly. On a huge glass of water. And then you've got electrolytes. Mm-hmm. You've got flavor, you got crunch. It's a nice snack. The end.
The end.
Okay, Bits, you ready for your judgy table?
Oh God. Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Bits, your judgy table starts now.
This isn't a judgy table. It's just a demand. Why can't I buy sour pickles cut into coin shapes? Why do they only sell it in whole or spears? But yet I can get it on a burger like that. Like, I get that you're cutting it somewhere else, but like, couldn't you just sell that wholesale? Sometimes, like, I just want to eat it like that, you know? So anyways, it's more of a provocation. It's more of a, like, putting it in the universe manifest. I really didn't have anything to be judgy about this episode. This was fun.
I actually really enjoyed that judgy table. I think it was perfect.
Okay, good.
I love it. Well, listeners, look for us on Instagram at Compliments to the Chef Pod. And also tune into our second helping this week, where we will be interviewing the executive producer of the show.
So, and also leave us a review if you're listening on Spotify or Apple. We really appreciate it. It helps other people find it, and it helps us brag to other people we know and be like, one more person left us a review. So help us do that, won't you?
Won't you?
Okay, Nancy, I'm super excited. On top of that, we have some really exciting interviews that are going to be dropping as well on the horizon. We chatted with Zubair, which was amazing. Chatting with Corwin, which will be amazing. So, the fun doesn't end here. And wow, what an episode. I'm very excited for the back half of this season. Are we in the back half? I know we had our mid-season.
It was not mid.
Finale? Well, okay. It was not mid. This episode was not mid, and nothing about this season's been mid.
Nothing.
So I'll see you next time.
On Compliments to the Chef. Bye.
Bye.